recorded, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, you know, just trying to stay cool.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Anything above 76.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be close to 90 today, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, man. We only get a few days of that out of a year, man. We should be able to tolerate that, right?
Yeah, you know, it's only July 15th, though, so we might have more than normal.
Yeah, you know, we broke a record last year, so no telling what's going to happen this year.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't surprise me if we did it again.
All right, so welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And I'm joined by, you know, a really good friend and one of my favorite politicians, in the world. None other than State Senator Chris Larson. Hey, good morning to you, Senator Larson. How you doing, man?
Good morning to you both. How we doing?
I'm doing fine, man. How are the youngins?
They're still sleeping right now. So thank goodness. They stayed up. They would not go to bed last night with the storm coming in.
How old are they now?
Nine. Stella is 9 years old, and then Atticus is 12.
Wow, man. It doesn't take long, does it?
No. They're very of their own mind. So
well, there wouldn't be anything other than with you, with your wife and you. I mean, what would you expect them to be?
Yeah, that's very true. It's a they're very empathetic people, and I love it. Of having, you know, that's what happens when you have a dad who's in politics, who works with people, and a mom who's a psychologist. So they're very good.
Very good
people. It took a while to get a moth out of the house yesterday.
Well, listen, man, listen. It's been a while. What's going on at the state level? You know, you've been state senator all of these years, and now here you are, and you've been on the other side of the thing, and you've not been able to be in the majority. What do you foresee in the coming, you know, election with a fair opportunity at the maps and those kind of things? What do you see?
Well, we finally have, you know, what's good is we finally have fairer maps. And I think, you know, what that brings, taking a step back, is that, you know, everybody knows about gerrymandering because you've talked about it.
Right.
You've got the, yeah, everybody who's listening knows about what gerrymandering is. But the other thing, I think the side effect of that people might not realize is that the gatekeeper for anything that was happening in the state of Wisconsin was Robin Voss. Which is one of the most partisan right-wing ideologues that our state has ever known. And so he has been the one to decide whether we do anything to address water pollution and PFAS, or having PFAS in our water, right? Or whether we're going to get our lead pipes taken care of in Milwaukee, whether we're going to do anything on climate change, what we're going to do with women's reproductive health, or let women be able to decide for themselves. The list goes on, that he was the gatekeeper for all of these things for the last 12 years. So whenever you see things that are broadcast and advertised as being bipartisan, it's just worth noting that in just about every case, it's a watered down version of what actually needed to happen. So if you want to think about it, sometimes I get government might not be the easiest thing to understand. It'd be like if, you know, every time you had a meal, you were serving a meal to your family, half of it was taken away. You say, well, this is better than nothing. But we've had that now for the last 13 years. And so, you know, Milwaukee in particular, urban areas in particular, communities that are in dire need have been getting half or less of what they actually deserve. Kids in public schools would be the easiest one. We actually, a kid right now is worth less by the state standards of money given out they're worth less right now than they were 15 years ago. So a student who graduated from high school in May, when they started, they were worth more. When they walked into a kindergarten classroom, they were worth more by what the state was giving out per pupil. And so all of that can finally start to change for the first time since 2010, right? Not to say that things before that were great and grand either, but things finally can start to turn around. And I feel that hope. Granted, we've got the RNC in town right now, so it's a very, very big reminder that this isn't going to be without a push, that we're not going to have to work for it. But that hope is there. It's genuine. We have these new maps, which means we have more candidates than we've had in over 20 years. And so the future and us catching up on 10, 20 years of where the rest of the country is finally right around the corner, right? It's like we're finally going to be able to get, a new pair of clothes after 20 years of having to wear the same rags and being forced to wear the same rags.
Senator Larson, I listen to conservative talk. I have for 40 years, maybe. And so to hear them at the state level whining and crying about the activist Supreme Court and state Supreme Court and all they're going to, they're going to be activists and they're going to do this as if the other side had not done the exact thing. Of course, you just stated all of those years.
Yeah.
And the constant whining and gnashing of teeth about what's coming and the fact that Republicans now have to run against other Republicans. Oh, how terrible this is. I mean, part of you has to say, man, after all these years, maybe now we can get the things done that need to be done. Wisconsin used to be a progressive state in my lifetime, and look at it now.
Yeah, no, it took 15 years. The Supreme Court had turned back in 2008, right? Back when you actually had somebody who turned out to be an election denier to be able to get onto the court, Michael Gableman, defeating a good man who was on the court. And ever since then, it had been under Republican control, like not just conservative control, but straight up Republicans, right? These are folks, if you look at the donors, if you look at who's supporting them, if you look at who's lining up, straight up Republicans. And I feel like, it was like trying to play a fair game of Monopoly for the last bunch of years while they're completely having their hand in the bank. That's finally balanced out, but it's only been a year. It's actually been less than a year. It'll be a year next month that we've had a fair court that's actually looking at things. They take a record number or a record low number of issues, so there's still a lot that needs to happen. But if there was any sense of shame of them talking about the partisan court, I mean, look at what the U.S. Supreme Court has been doing. These guys are just so blatantly corrupt that it's the word corruption doesn't even, it starts to lose its meaning when you have these folks who are openly flying flags against our country on their front porch at multiple homes that they own, same justice, multiple homes, multiple flags against our country. And then beyond that, yet he's taking luxury vacations that are valued, when you add everything up, over $1 million, right? Like, that's a heck of a vacation. I don't know about you, but like, when I go on vacation, we're still like stop at the grocery store and we'll grab PBJs before we're going into to Disney World because we're like, can't afford that. But multi-million dollar vacations, they rule, of course. And to be able to say exactly what the billionaires that funded them wanted, with no blush, with no like sense of self-reference, that this is a completely ridiculous, corrupt outcome. I mean, if that had happened with like a dog catcher who was taking this type of bribes. People would toss them out on their ear, but they've realized the Supreme Court is the ones that hold themselves to that standard at the highest level. And I don't know. I feel like we're still at the national level. They could learn a thing or two from Wisconsin because there's still a lot of folks who are still looking at them, thinking that they're playing by the same old rules of 10, 20, 30 years ago of like the old party system. And these guys are just, they've ripped up the rules a long time ago. The rules are, what can you get away with? And that's what they're going to do. And they're going to keep on pushing it to do whatever it is that they can get away with until we adjust to that level and say, you know what, this is why we have the greatest economic disparity, the greatest difference between rich and poor that we've had since the Gilded Age. This is why, you know, half of our neighbors are just one tragedy away from bankruptcy. How everyone's just barely skating by, how the middle class has been skinnied out and is not the robust part of the population that it used to be. We're all struggling. I mean, I get we're all trying to, everyone's trying to sit up straight and look like we're doing okay, but the only way we can all do okay is if we make sure that we're banding together and voting for policies that do that and pushing against the court that is trying to keep its foot on our cape.
You know, Senator Lassen, I remember saying to you, in the past, Matt, I don't know how you could hang in there, you know, as a state senator and know what you're up against and know, you know, that there almost appeared to be no chance whatsoever that this thing was going to turn around. Why were you able to survive that?
I feel like, well, you do ask me that, I think, every single time I ask you. I talk to you. It does. And I do try and give it thought every time because I try and give a thoughtful answer. But yeah, it is a it's not always easy. That's for sure. I am going to be the third longest serving in the body. So there's only two people in the state Senate that have been there longer than me, which is kind of, when I got there, I was youngest by a decade. But the hope of what we go back to and holding up a memory of like, look, here's all the things that have happened and here's what we need to do to change back. That's it.
All right. Welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is State Senator Chris Lassen. You can join us at 844-967-2789. All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Chris Lassen. Senator Lassen, a horrible event transpired on this past Saturday. It's been listed as an attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. And I want to, Calvin, can you load that Marjorie? Okay. When you get time, let me know when you get the Marjorie Taylor Greene, video up. So what are your thoughts, Senator Lassen, about this heinous crime that occurred on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. That is something that happened in anywhere on the planet, much less in the United States of America, that somebody picked up a powerful weapon of war and used it against somebody who had been our country's highest leader, office holder. that should not be allowed, whether you know, whoever is on the other side of that, of the gun. We just have an epidemic of gun violence in America that is unlike any other place. And it is, I don't think it had the same level of shock that it would have, you know, 30 years ago. But it is still shocking and it is still awful. But we just have so much gun violence happening in America that it is almost, hopefully it's a sign to folks, as particularly those who have not joined us in the call to have, gun reform, to say that weapons of war do not belong in the hands of civilians, to say that, you know what, that more guns leads to more shootings. And I hope that we evolve to that conversation. You know, that the motives of the shooter are unknown. I see there's a lot of irresponsible speculation going on online, of people already using this as a call towards, taking steps towards a civil war, or to exact political violence against their opponents. And I think that this is our time to be the adults in the room, Earl, right? To look in the past at to what has happened before and to be able to say, no, let's pause. As heated as the rhetoric is, there is no room for violence in politics. When violence enters politics, that's where you start to devolve, and it's no longer politics, it's violence, right? And that's what marks, I think, America, is that we haven't always been good at that, but we are trying to get better. Every generation, we try to get better. And now it's our turn at the wheel. And damned if I'm going to let our country go in reverse or slide off into a ditch. Like, we have to be better and to be able to take the lower the temperature of the room. And I think I hold a lot of regard for leaders before us who had to manage these tough situations. And I think of Robert F. Kennedy on the night of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, when he went before the crowd in Indianapolis, when people were rightfully upset across the nation. And he leaned in and said his brother had also been killed by gun violence. And the words that he said, what we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence or not lawlessness, but love and wisdom. And I think that, as much as we can, if it's Bobby Kennedy, if it's somebody else, that we can hold in our heart of the best person that we can be through this moment, to carry us through it and frankly do the best that we can to turn down the temperature. And all you have to do is go on any social media site and you can see the flamethrowers there trying to ignite the fuse and get things going. But Earl, you, me, everyone else who's in leadership has to grab that fuse and hold it tight in your fist and surround it with love and make sure that nothing's going to get to it, that the flamethrowers online cannot get to that fuse. And that we are going to be able to get through one of the toughest moments in American history that we are in right now.
Having said that, Senator Larson, hold that thought. I want to bring on Jorge of Civic Media. He wants to make an announcement on what's going to be taking place during the Republican convention that we are going to be a big part of. Hey, good morning to you, Jorge. How you doing, man?
Great to see you.
It's always good to see you, man. Okay, we're having some issue. Let's see. Are you there, Jorge? No. Okay, so we'll go back to Jorge. Can you play the Marjorie Taylor Greene piece? All right. We're going to play this, Senator Larson. Hang on.
You know, it is a battle of good and evil. That is exactly what this is. And I feel it every time I go into Washington. Look at the views and the policies of the left. This is the party that is literally trying to destroy God's creation and tell children they can be more than two genders, which is an absolute lie and a complete attack on God. The Democrat Party is the party of abortion, murdering the innocent unborn. The Democrat Party is the party of violence, just as Ben stated. And just as we have witnessed for years now, never forget it was Antifa and the radical left that nearly burned down Washington, D.C. on President Trump's inauguration night in 2017. And then they continued to riot for years. And then the horrific riots night after night in 2020 after George Floyd died from a drug overdose, by the way. As all of the reports have said and toxicology reports have said, the Democrat Party is the party of pedophiles. The Democrat Party is flat out evil. And the Democrat Party is the party of violence. The Democrat Party is the party that wants to lock up their political enemies and wants them to all die in prison. They put Steve Bannon in prison. Peter Navarro, thank God, is about to get out, and we look forward to seeing him at the RNC. They want to lock up President Trump for the rest of his life so he dies in jail. And they are locking up January 6th election protesters still every single day. And Ben, I'm glad you called it out, and I'm glad you said that prayer tonight on the air, because we do need to be a nation that returns to God in a mighty and powerful, faithful way, because it's God and God alone that can truly save us.
So Senator Larson, President Biden came on after that horrible event and said, let's tone down the rhetoric. I'm going to pull my commercials off, and we're going to tone this down. That was yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I want you to, you know, on the other side, respond, because, you know, to say that requires a response from responsible people, and I consider you that. Hang on, Jorge. We'll come to you on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on a Motown Monday. Be right back. All right. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm joined by Mr. Jorge. He is the in charge of marketing for Civic Media. Good morning to you, Jorge. Jorge Rena, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Great. All right. It's go time for us.
Yeah, you had an announcement you wanted to make.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with your listeners that we have been working really hard at putting together an RNC coverage page where they can get everything that we are doing for the RNC, including the video streams for this show. It's actually streaming live now on that page. We're also going to be posting all the articles that are team of reporters are going to be writing regarding the RNC, and a slideshow feature that's with pictures, photos taken from the convention. And also one feature that we're excited about, which is just live updates. So essentially the team will be posting, you know, links to articles, links to anything relating to things happening at the convention. It's sort of like a live, live reactions type of thing. And the URL for that, you should be able to find it if you just go to civicmedia.us/RNC. So we want to invite everybody to, you know, go to that page and stay connected, because we're taking a very local angle. The convention is happening not even in our backyard. It's like in our living room, right? Being right here in Milwaukee. So we're excited to be able to bring that type of coverage for everyone.
So Tony says, sounds like everything you could want to know about the RNC.
that's our goal. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, these are heavy times, and we're hoping to cover it with, you know, live up to the standards of Civic Media. And we're excited about that.
Well, no more excited than I am. I'm going to be hanging out, and doing some reporting. So I'm really excited about
and you'll
that.
Yeah, we'll be posting your updates too. So everyone watch out for Earl's iPhone pictures or cell phone pictures, because he's very excited.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to use that newfangled invention called the you know, cell phone.
The mobile phone.
Yeah. Hey, Jorge, thank you, man.
You can do it, Earl. I
thank you.
All right, well, thank you.
We'll be in touch. So,
all right, thank you so much.
So, Senator Chris Larson is on the docket. You know, President Biden stepped up and everybody called for calm, Senator Larson, after this horrific event. And yet, I listened to some conservative outlets, and they're blaming the Democrats. J.B. Vance basically blamed this on Joe Biden and the fact that Democrats have been vilifying Donald Trump and saying horrific things, and this opened the door. How can you begin to even attempt to do healing, Senator Larson, when this kind of rhetoric continues, even under these conditions?
It is that you played the Marjorie Taylor Greene quote and J.D. Vance, and there's a small handful of others that immediately, you know, establish themselves as not being the adults in the room, of people who have decided that regardless of whatever the issue is or whatever the scenario is on the ground, that they are going to continue with violent rhetoric and continue to try and separate people. The thought goes that they can't help themselves. That doesn't give us permission to do it. And I know it can be tough sometimes to not go on, to feel like meeting fire with fire is the answer, but you can't meet fire with fire because everything will burn down.
Right.
So you have to meet fire with water, and we are going to be the water to be able to say that that is not acceptable rhetoric. There's not even a notion of truth within that to be able to acknowledge, to be able to say that we need to dispute point for point. It's intended to try and appeal to the part of a person's brain that gets them good and fired up and angry and shut off every part of their brain, right? It's the equivalent of trying to give all of their supporters road rage in a situation where we're all in a traffic jam together. Nobody's going to be able to move any faster. You're just going to get people mad. So what we need to do is to shut down a fire is not give it oxygen. So I'd encourage anybody who is feeling really vulnerable when they hear those quotes, when they hear that, is to go to the people that you love and go around to the people that you care about first and foremost. Before that, shut off Twitter. give the likes to civic media and make sure you're following what they're doing. But take a break. Do not look at the comments. There is nothing in the comments that is going to find you guidance for a great day. It's just not, especially right now. But more than anything, if there's a temptation to try and avoid everybody and avoid your neighbors, and I encourage folks not to do that. People are fundamentally good. I was out on doors yesterday knocking. It's something I do whenever I'm not sure what's going on, whenever I'm not sure where people are at. Go out and talk to the people. They'll tell you, right? They'll show exactly what they're feeling. And people are fundamentally good. They're worried. But people care about each other. They do. Democratic, Republican, independent, people in the middle, people care about each other. We are fundamentally a caring community, a caring neighborhood. And we really have to return to that and ignore. And I would hope that there would be a political cost for folks that are trying to turn up the temperature and tilt the country towards violence. But the best we can do is call it out, say that's not acceptable in the calmest voice that we can, and move the country to the direction that we want, which is one where we are looking after each other, where we're not afraid of each other, and that we realize that there's more of us than there are of those who are trying to pit us against each other.
Let's go to Alex from Brooklyn, New York. Good morning to you, Alex. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking the call. Obviously I'm a conservative, so I happen to see it a little differently. I don't respect Marjorie Taylor Greene. I never did. But I don't think that, the truth flies out of the window when something like this happens, and then, you change tones when this happens. I don't see why that should be the case. you know, if Joe Biden and Democrats believe that Donald Trump is Hitler and that he's going to be a dictator, that doesn't change when somebody tries to assassinate him. And you can't have it both ways and say, oh, we condemn what happened now and let's lower the temperature because of what happened. If you believed he was Hitler, you should say he should have been assassinated. And obviously by saying now that Democrats condemn what took place, that shows that they didn't really believe Trump was as nefarious as they said he was. And I think that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments, am I going to speak for that? But in terms of Republicans still talking about how they think that the rhetoric by the left is what caused this, I don't think that that's problematic in any way. I think that it's important that the truth is out there and people speak their mind. But I don't like the blame game of people saying, you know, Democrats are responsible because of rhetoric that they used against Republicans and this, you know, led up to that. Because I think Democrats also have a right to speak their mind and say that if they think Trump is terrible, but then it doesn't change. They can't change from saying Trump is Hitler to saying, oh, something like this shouldn't happen to that person. So, and I also think, just this last thing, that it's fine if you believe Trump is terrible to say he's terrible. It's fine to say that you think Trump did a terrible job as president. But when you start lying about the person, like saying when he said there's going to be a bloodbath with car manufacturing industry, just turn that into that he was saying there's going to be a bloodbath.
So, Alex, thank you very much for the call. Senator Larson, you want to respond to anything?
Yeah, I mean, having harsh political criticism or criticism of a person's on-the-record positions in politics is not the same as saying, well, let's impart violence on them. Let's hurt them or end their life. That just does not equate, you know? That is where I think we have problems. It demonstrates a problem with our systems and the way that people are thinking, that is a natural evolution. This isn't, you know, the car radio where if you don't like the station, you can shut it off, or on Spotify where if you don't like what somebody's saying, you can click it away, or on social media, you know, somebody's on your wall and they have a problem with their caps lock key and are dropping F-bombs that you can delete and block them forever. Killing a person is never allowed. I'm ashamed that I have to say that we are not allowing that in an American system of government. We are never going back to that, right? That is not something that should be acceptable. We are a country that reveres our diversity, our differences. And if we are going to go to the point where violence is acceptable, it's a backslide. And I don't know how far back it goes. So we are not doing that. However, rhetoric is okay. Talking about things is okay. If it gets to the point where people are getting heated and getting and some folks are taking it to the next level and hurting and picking up guns is what happened on Saturday, it is not a sign of weakness to be able to take a step back and have some self-reflection. That is human. That is human at this moment to step back and to be able to say, how did we get to this? What exactly happened with this individual? What is the environment that we are in where this is happening? And I think that is what most of the people are doing especially on the Democratic side. And for a lot of folks on the Republican, it's hard to be able to decipher because some of the higher voices are getting out there, but we cannot allow that. Thirdly, to what Donald Trump is presenting, this, what he is ushering in on his policies in Project 2025, and the things that he is outlining and trying in hopes for his next administration and the people he has surrounded himself with, when you have other countries who are kind of putting their hand on our shoulder and saying, hey, you know, you guys sure heck look like you're sliding towards what happened in Hungary, where somebody took over who is never ever going to let the power go again, took over the courts, took over the media, and felt justified because he was blaming immigrants and blaming the LGBTQ community. And they see the parallels. It's worth calling that out and having a conversation. These are not just words of talking about fascistic tendencies. This is paralleled in history of trying to be able to say that there's only one person who is right and everyone else is a betrayal of America. That is not it. Bring your ideas, back it up. And just getting louder does not make you righter. Just trying to engage the people to become angry, like they're in a road rage situation and stop thinking. In my book, you've already lost. That is not part of a debate that we should have in America. It should be about the ideas, and it should be about engaging people and what's best for people.
You know,
not fear, not fear.
You know, Senator Larson, I lived through the assassination of John F. Kennedy, of Robert F. Kennedy. They're still in my mind. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, Malcolm X, and you just... I saw those things as a young boy. I'm now 70 years old, and they're still vivid in my mind, Medgar Evers. And so it was a time in our history that became all too familiar. And as you stated, nothing, nothing should ever, you know, push us to the edge where that becomes a norm. And I will say this, the availability of high-powered weapons, Senator Larson, is a part of this whole thing. You can't dismiss that, what transpired from the easy accessibility of these high-powered weapons.
Yes.
So hang on, 844-967-2789 is the number. All of you guys on the line, hang on, we'll get you in. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can, Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. I'm joined by State Senator Chris Larson. Let's go to the phone lines and Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. You have a question or comment?
Good morning, Earl, and I thank you again for taking my call. You know, I have to agree with Alex. When I hear, you know, Trump is a threat to democracy, when Biden comes out and says it's time to put Trump in a bullseye, you know, democracy's on the ballot, he's a threat to our nation, and then something bad happens. And again, just as Alex kind of said as well, now it's time to turn the heat down. This is the same thing that comes out with the coexist bumper stickers. Whenever the Republicans were in charge, then we had to coexist. But when the Democrats are in charge, they never coexisted. Well, we haven't coexisted in the last 3.5 years. So, again, I think Democrats, I'm not saying that they brought this on, but you want to talk about the rhetoric? That's where it's coming from majorly against Donald Trump.
Senator Larson?
I'm sorry to hear that, Mark. I'm not sure what the point of the call is. We are, you know, as a country, the Secret Service and the FBI is doing a thorough investigation about the motives of this person who was very troubled, about what their motivation was. There's bits out there that people can grab onto. I'm not going to dive into it because I feel like we're extrapolating on details that we don't know. But the reality is we can't know that. We can only respond to that. And I'm not sure if Mark and Alex and others are advocating to be able to say, yes, let's justify the violence and let's keep that going. What I'm saying, what Earl is saying, and frankly, what we should be saying is not that we can't get into political arguments and political discussions. It's that at this time, it's worth backing off and saying, well, we don't know, but things got a little tense. It's kind of like when you're at a concert, you know, and I know, you know, Earl, you've gone to your share of concerts where somebody falls down in the middle of a crowd and everyone just stop, you know, and if you need to go so far as to stop the music to be able to say, hey, let's make sure everybody's okay before we continue on. That's where we are, a gut check moment, right? That is not a bad thing. And I would say even if, like, you know, this isn't just us talking here. I mean, The Daily Show decided to pull down their broadcast coming from Milwaukee for the week because they're just saying, we don't know what's going to be happening. They didn't issue a larger statement, but they're just doing the same. Let's figure this out. And so before we start throwing blame around and be able to say that this is this person's fault and that person's fault, and this is what's justified, and this is what that's going to lead to, let's calm down. Let's calm down. And I think if that becomes really tough, it's best to figure out looking forward, because we can always look back and find examples, but to look forward of what is the country that we want, you know, where are we trying to go? What kind of community are you trying to build within your own family? Are you demonstrating that right now in how you are behaving to people who are not in your family? Because I believe in my view of how government works, it should be a reflection of what your family is, that the more you can look at your neighbor, a person down the street and complete strangers as a brother and a sister, as a cousin, as somebody that you care about, the better off we all are. And I know that may be antithetical to what others may view politics and view government to be, but I do believe in a time like this, it makes the most sense that we are all human. We are all trying to figure our way through this. Anger is not going to help. Blame is not going to help right now. You know,
You know, Senator Larson, you and I had a conversation yesterday about urban America and rural America and the divide that yes. exists between urban America and rural America. And in our conversation, you talked about the fact that you spent time in rural America, and clearly you live in urban America. Why is there this bigger chasm between the two?
I'll repeat what I said to you, which is I think that there's a tendency to think that everyone else has it all together and everyone else is getting theirs and you're not. Whether that be on which side you fall, whether that you be in the urban area and look at the rural areas of saying, well, they're doing fantastic. They live in a life of peace and they're doing great. Or to be in a rural part of America, a rural part of Wisconsin, and be able to say, well, look, everybody's getting everything that they want in the cities. We're all struggling. Everybody is struggling. I think the more that we recognize that the difference between us is so small that we are all trying to figure out this broken healthcare system that we have that delivers more bills than it does comfort, that we are worried about our kids. And frankly, that we are seeing a lot of money siphoned up to the very top while the rest of us are struggling and the middle class is falling apart. You know, the more that we can get out there and have conversations and realize that there's not a huge gap. And frankly, this idea that sometimes you can feel isolated. And I think the example I used, Earl, was if you're sitting alone at a lunch table, you may think everyone else is having a great time and talking about you. They're not. You know, if you're feeling brave, go up and talk to them. I get it's hard. We're taught as young kids that don't talk to strangers. And I do think that's part of the world. Some of the worst advice that carries on in people's minds. Strangers aren't strangers if you talk to them. You know, most people are good at their heart. And most people will welcome you in, regardless of political background, regardless of race, regardless of culture. But it is a certain level of vulnerability that you put yourself out there to do that. And if there's anything we can do in this world, it's trying to bridge that difference between us and realize that we're all struggling, And if we start talking, we can figure out how to get out of this, not just ourselves, but with our neighbors.
All right, State Senator Chris Larson, it's always great talking to you, man. It's always, you're always a stabilizing force. That's why I'm glad that we had you on this morning.
Thank you, Earl. Thank you for working for us, man. Good luck this week.
Amen. Thank you. 844-967-2789 is the number you're tuning into at Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.